If you've ever fly to Israel, chances are you will land in one of two cities. You might fly all the way to Jerusalem, Jerusalem International, but it's also pretty likely that you'll at least stop in Tel Aviv, because that's right on the coast. One of the first cities you'll hit as you come into, come over the Mediterranean. And when we went to Israel back in 2006, we landed in Tel Aviv, spent the night there. Mediterranean Sea is quite a sight. And from there, the next morning, we went north to Caesarea Maritima, Caesarea on the sea. Took us, I don't know if it even took us an hour. It wasn't a very long bus trip. But our guide pointed something out. He said, Peter, in the story Jason read, Peter was in Joppa, modern Tel Aviv. And that sheet came down, and he saw that vision, and God sent him to meet with Cornelius, who was in Caesarea. He said, now, Peter's trip is a little longer than yours, because in our day, we have nice bridges. But there is a wide river that Peter and his companions would not have been able to ford. They wouldn't have been able to walk through that river. They would have to go around it quite some distance to find a shallow spot. So this trip, which took us less than an hour by bus, and probably if you could walk that bridge, probably might take you the better part of a day, but for Peter, probably took about 2 days. But when we got to Caesarea, something occurred to me. As we were in a Bible study there, the Lord told me about another prophet who left from Joppa. He had been sent to Gentiles, just like Peter, and he was reluctant to go. And that prophet was who? Jonah. Same story. The same story. But of course, as you know, the story went very differently. Here's Jonah's story from Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up! Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has confronted me. However, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Something I wonder, how does a prophet of God figure he's going to get away from the Lord's presence? His theology needs a little work. Then the Lord hurled a violent wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him, said, what are you doing sound asleep? Get up! Call to your God! Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish. Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, the sailors said to each other, come on, let's cast lots. Then we will know who is to blame for this trouble we're in. So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. And they said to him, tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. What is your business and where are you from? What is your country and what people are you from? And he answered them, I am a Hebrew. I worship Yahweh, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were really more afraid and said to him, "What is this that you've done?" For the men knew he was fleeing from Yahweh's presence, from the Lord's presence, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you to calm the sea that's against us?" For the sea was getting worse and worse. He answered them, "Well, pick me up and throw me into the sea, so that it may quiet down for you. For I know that I'm to blame for this violent storm that is against you." They didn't want to do that. It says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not because the sea was raging against them more and more." So these guys who had a bunch of other gods turned to Yahweh. They called out to the Lord, "Please, Yahweh, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood, for you, Yahweh, have done as you pleased." In other words, this is your fault. Am I mistranslating? Then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. And the men feared the Lord even more. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Then the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the grace of your calling. Thank you for what you've laid before us. Your call to mission demands a response. Give us your grace to respond properly in Jesus' name. Amen. There is something that happens when God calls. And I want to speak mainly to those of you who know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you know what God's call is about. And it doesn't matter to me if you're young or if you're older, God has a call upon your life. You are here because God has purpose for you. I'm not the one to stand up in a pulpit and tell you what that purpose is, except to say your purpose is to fulfill His purpose, to find it out. What do you need to do to fulfill that purpose? First thing you need is a clear word from God. A clear word from God. Jonah obviously got a very clear word. God told Jonah, and Jonah responded, "Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because their wickedness has confronted me." We discussed this in Sunday school. I loved that phrase in the Holman translation. "Their wickedness has confronted me." Most of the other translations, "their wickedness has come before me." Now, if you come before me, I have no idea what it's about. But if you confront me, it's a very different slice of cheese. That's some sharp cheddar. "Their wickedness has come to me with such tremendous force, I have to act." That's God talking. "Things are so bad, I'm taking action." God gave a clear call to Peter in the passage that Jason read. How clear do you want it? He's thinking McDonald's, and God is thinking butcher shop. And the butcher shop comes down on a sheet, and he says, "Peter, you're about to be the butcher." Now, before you get all queasy, it would be pretty common for a person in this culture to slaughter their own animals. Peter was a fisherman. He'd been doing it all his life. He'd probably been making lunch for himself for quite some time, or at least cleaning it. So this was not a strange thing, but the animals were wrong. "This isn't the kind of animal I eat. I'm a Jew. I've never eaten anything like that." And God's clear message: what God has made clean, you must not call common. Our calling is also clear, and we know what it is, don't we? It's something called the Great Commission. Jesus gave us one thing to do, not two to confuse us. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So when we do what Jesus says, we do it with what kind of authority? What right do we have to go telling people about Jesus? We have the word from the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. And if you believe that, I mean, imagine the President of the United States giving you a directive. You'd probably do it. Here is the Lord of heaven and earth giving you a directive. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Does that say to make converts? Does that say to get people to say the sinner's prayer? Make disciples. Make people who follow Jesus. This is not a one-shot deal. This is a life experience. Go and make disciples, and make them of all nations. Isn't that what Jonah was told to do, to go to another nation? Isn't that what Peter was told to do, to go to a Roman, an oppressor, the bad guys? And do it. How do you make disciples? You start by baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. Well, Jesus, how am I supposed to do that? Remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm not telling you to do this without me at your side. His command and call are clear. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Certain that God is appealing through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In case the word reconciled sounds a little funny, you're at odds with God, get it right. Fix your relationship with God. That's a message I could give to Christians and non-Christians as well, right? Get your relationship with God in order. And he says, we don't just ask, we plead. We put some emotion into this. We make holes in our pant knees over this. We plead with you. Our calling's been clear, obvious. We have a call to reach Western Kenosha County as a church, to touch them with the gospel, to show Christ. That's one of the reasons we're doing something called an Easter egg hunt. We want to reach out to the families of this area, show them that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we want to proclaim to them, Christ is risen, he is Lord of the world, we'd like you to get to know him. Isn't that our message? Isn't that what we want to tell them? Has your call been clear? Is your calendar clear for the 30th of March? You've been given a challenge, a clear word from the Lord. The second thing that hits is that when you're given a clear word from the Lord, which I've just given you, all right? You got your clear word? Good. So far, so good. Now you come to what's called the crisis of faith. Oh, can I do that? Am I equipped to do that? Am I smart enough to do that? Do I have the time to do that? Is there a Cheers rerun at that time? You know, I know that on that day, at that time, some of you may have work. Some of you may have a job to do. That's understandable, and that's a priority. Some of you may have family responsibilities. I respect that. But look at your calendar, and what does it say? If your calendar is clear, God's word is clear. And we come to this crisis of faith. Will I be able to do what I'm called upon to do? Jonah had that crisis of faith, and he split. Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Peter had a crisis of faith, and he took some time. He pondered it. Peter was deeply perplexed about what the vision might mean. He was thinking about the vision, verses 17 and 19 in Acts chapter 10. He thought about it. No, I'm not going to put out some lame altar call. Will you commit today to being there on the 30th? No. I'm not going to do that. I'm asking you to go to the Lord and pray and seek to obey him and do what he says. Peter did it. Of course, the Lord didn't give him a whole lot of time to do it, because as he was doing it, the Lord says, now get up and go downstairs, because the guys I'm sending to you are there. A crisis of faith calls us to opportunity. And when you see God doing something, when you see God acting, what do? Join him. How do you know it's the right time to join him? When you see God acting, that's the time. Because he wouldn't show you if it wasn't time. The right time came for Jonah. Nineveh was ripe for repentance. The rest of the story tells us that. The time was right. The man was right. The man was unwilling. God says, oh, no, you don't. God says, I love you, Jonah. I love you too much to let you run from me. And I love the people of Nineveh too much to let them run from me when there's a chance. We come to a crisis of faith. What if it's harder than I think? Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So when you've had a clear word from God and have walked through your crisis of faith, it calls for concrete action. Now Jonah took concrete action. Who? He took action. Got on the boat, and not only did he get on the boat, the Bible tells us interestingly, and I'd never noticed this before, he went immediately to the basement of the boat. Immediately to the basement of the boat. No one's going to bug me. God himself cannot get down here. Something about Jonah's theology that needs work, but he paid the fare, and then he became suicidal. Throw me into the sea. Peter's action. He took concrete action, didn't he? You guys are Gentiles. Well, you're staying the night here, and then we're going first thing in the morning. They head out. He takes a two-day trip and shares the gospel with Cornelius, and he's got his whole family there. He does something that goes against the grain, something that doesn't work for him. You don't go under the roof of a Gentile if you're a Jew. What I have called clean, you don't call common. And if I've called it clean, you get under their roof. I asked in Sunday school, I'll ask something comparable here. Who are your Ninevites, the people you don't want to go to? Who is your Cornelius? The people who, well, they're just wrong, that's all. You don't go around people like that. Who are your people that really don't deserve such a wonderful person as you to be around them? Let me inform you, that's who God's sending you to. I've told you before, I want to see if you remember. Who belongs in church? Sinners. You know why sinners belong in church? Because they don't want the seats empty. Only sinners allowed here. With one exception, Jesus. He's more than welcome. He's the doctor. He's the well one in the hospital. Who are you called to go to? Sinners. And are you called to tell them how much better you are? Certainly not. You're called to tell them how great your Lord is and how well he rescued you from yourself. The genius of Christianity is he delivers us from us. It's not about self-realization or self-actualization. It's about denying yourself, taking up a cross, and following him. It's about someone who died because of who I am, so that he could make me someone like him. And we have a Father who loves us so much, he wants us all to be like his Son. And he welcomes you, and he welcomes me into that relationship. And what's he doing? God is determined to get his family back. And he's commissioned us with all authority in heaven and earth to try to help God get his family back. What a great thing that he invites us into that work. He could do it himself, you know. He doesn't need his sniveling children to do it. But he loves us so much, he welcomes us into that work. Are you ready to join him? You go to the Lord, and you deal with that.